Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
All right, so open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 as we take a look at God's Word this evening. The title of this evening's message is Putting on Christ, and we're going to cover chapter 3 as a whole. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 25. So now Paul takes the doctrine, theology, knowledge, and teaching that he has given us from chapters 1 and 2 and converts them into everyday life for the believer. And he gives us 2 points. Life principles for believers in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 17, and life application for believers in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, all down to chapter 4, verse 1. So again, chapters 1 and 2 was a lot of deep stuff about Jesus, his character, his nature, his personality, and the deity of Jesus Christ. And he's going to take that now and to bring it home so that we can more appropriately apply it to our daily lives. And that's definitely what we need to have in our own life, is to know how to apply God's Word and take it and use it and mold it into our own personal life. And so the first part of Colossians basically was that doctrinal side. Well, now Paul gets into the practical side, you know, where this doctrine, this information really hits our feet, really where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. And we're going to be taking a look at some great principles for life. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, we're going to be taking a look at 4 life principles for believers. 4 life principles for believers. So Paul speaks in regards to believers here on affection in verses 1 to 4. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, before I read God's Word, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your Word. Lord, we pray that your Word would dwell richly in our hearts, Lord, that you would always be on our minds, that we would always be mindful of your Spirit, acknowledging you and being sensitive to your direction and your guidance, Lord. Father, we love your Word. We pray that as we study it, Lord, that we not just be hearers, but doers of your Word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 reads, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, when you also will appear with him in glory." So here, these first 4 verses, Paul speaks in regards to the believer's affection. The believer's affection. Verse 1, Paul says something here. He says, seek. Seek. You see, this is, in essence, the life of the believer. Seeking. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and that shall be opened. Ask, and you shall receive. For everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. And everyone who asks, it shall be given unto you. The life of the believer is seeking. Seeking to grow in the relationship of God. Seeking to know who this God is that loves them, that has a plan for their lives. Seeking. And if you don't want to seek the things of God, then you have to ask the question, well, why would I call myself a Christian? When the term Christian means Christ-like or Christ follower. So if we will call ourselves Christians, I want to follow Jesus, it's oxymoron to say, I'm a Christian, but yet I don't want to seek the things of God. So seek. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above. Concentrate your concern on the eternal and not the earthly. Concentrate on the things of eternal and not the temporal. Concentrate your mind on the things that are eternal, heavenly, and not the things that are temporal for the moment. Life principle number 1. The place of the believer's affection must be in heaven and not on earth. Jesus asked the question, who do you love more, God or mammon? Where's your affection? Who do you love more? The things of God, things in heaven, or the things that are temporal, the physical, the here, the now? And so Paul is presenting a life principle for us, a challenge. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 reads, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So the question is basically, where are we setting our treasure? Are we setting our treasures in heaven on the eternal things, or are we setting our treasures here on earth? The things that are passing away, the things that are going to burn up. You know, we need to have a mindset of putting our mind that there's a heaven up there. And let's set our treasures up in heaven. So first life principle is place your affection in heaven. Verse 3. "For you died and your life is hidden." No, hidden implies both concealment and safety, both invisibility and security. That's interesting. We're not yet glorified. I mean, obviously, I'm not glorified. I can look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, geez. But we are definitely safe and secure in Christ Jesus. Though we're not yet complete, He's still working on us, we're still safe and secure in Jesus. And verse 4 goes on to talk about the second life principle. Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." The second life principle: the person of the believer's affection must be in Jesus and not in the flesh. When I was younger, I thought I was pretty something. I had a big fat head about me. You know, when I was a kid, I thought, man, I am just the bomb. I am just like, I don't understand why they don't make me president. You know, that was my attitude about myself. I was full of myself. And I had my confidence in me. But now that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I no longer have confidence in me, because now I know who me is. I was a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And I put my confidence and trust in Jesus now. And so the second life principle that Paul brings to us is that the person of the believer's affection must be in Jesus. Our affection must be in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center of all. He is our all in all. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." And so my hope is in my Lord and Savior Jesus, who is in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. My hope is in God. And a lot of times, just today I was reading a tract from another religious organization that they happened to drop on my doorstep. And it says, "Where is your hope?" And I don't know where their hope is, but my hope is in Jesus. We should look upward for Christ's imminent reign over us. And we should look forward to Christ's imminent return for us. Because my hope is in Jesus. It's not in me, because I know that my flesh can accomplish some things maybe here on earth that is temporal and won't last, but my hope is in my God, my Lord and Savior, my Jesus, who loves me and wants the best for me and wants me to be with Him in eternity. That's where your hope needs to be. So now Paul speaks in regards to believers' apparel. So we saw that Paul spoke in regards to the believer's affection. In verses 5 to 17, Paul is going to speak in regards to the believer's apparel. Verse 5 to 7. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which are idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Now, I love this. This reminds me of a mini testimony. It's like a mini testimony that Paul is talking to us about. It's a reminder. This is what I used to be like. I used to walk in those ways. I used to be like that. Unclean, fornication, passions, evil desires, covetousness, idolatry. Those are the things that I walked in before I came and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And back then, my destiny was to receive God's wrath. That was my destiny. I was heading towards that. And I was perfectly fine with that until I met someone. That someone was Jesus. And He told me He has a better life for me, that He is wanting to cleanse me of my sins, cleanse me of all that wrong that I had in my life, wash me clean, make me new, get rid of all those things that are listed in verse 5, make me a new creation, and given me an eternal destiny. And by accepting Him, I no longer receive that wrath that God has placed upon my life when I was younger. You see, everyone who has not received the Lord, their destiny is listed there. It's not a good destiny. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon them. When we give our testimony, we're testifying of this, that that's what we used to be like. And that was our destiny, that the wrath of God was going to come upon me. And when I tell somebody about Jesus, I tell them, that's who I used to be. But now God has changed me. My destiny used to be that, but now God has changed me. I am no longer going to receive that wrath, but forgiveness and eternal security in Christ Jesus, because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so it reminds me of this mini testimony that Paul has given as a reminder to me. Look where I used to be, but now look where I'm going. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 9 to 10 talks about this putting off. Putting off. Putting off. It means to literally take off your dirty shirt. When I was in the military, every year we had war games. And one year we went up to Camp Roberts in Central California, and I was part of the advanced party. And we had our camouflage, and I was a radio man, so I had a big 100-pound radio on my back with all my other gear, and my gun, and my ammo, and my MREs, and some other equipment. And we only had the one change of clothes, because that was all we were allowed to take. This advance party had to go out there was 8 or 10 of us, not very many. We had to go out, establish a perimeter, and prepare for the rest of the battalion to come, which was 8 days later. So here we are in our clothes for 8 days. Well, when the battalion finally comes, they set up camp, and then we're relieved from that duty. And they set up showers and all kinds of cool stuff. And we were the first people that they allowed to take the showers because we'd been there the longest. So we got up there, and there was this changing area before we went into the shower room. And we take off our clothes, and I took off my shirt, and I wanted our practice was to roll everything up real nice and tight and neat so we could put it back in our bags because we weren't going to use them, but we couldn't wash them because we didn't have any place to wash the clothes with. So I took off my shirt, and I buttoned it back up, and then I set it there, and lo and behold, it stood there. Full. You know, it's like a shirt that you see on a mannequin at a store. It was like there and didn't move. This dirty, grimy, stinky, yucky shirt. But that's the image that Paul wants us to see in our minds, to take that off of us, to put it off, that dirt, that grime, that nasty, sick sin, and put it off. That's the image that Paul is trying to create in our minds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now Paul says, put on. So in contrast to putting off that old sin, he says now put on something. But what is it that he wants us to put on? Jesus. The new life that we can have in Christ Jesus. That new life. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we saw last week, we became a new creation. We have a new nature. And that's what we're putting on. We're putting on Jesus because He gives us that newness of life. In verse 10, He mentioned this word renewed. It's interesting that word renewed is in the present tense. In other words, we're constantly being renewed right now. Well, now, how can that be? How can we constantly be being renewed right now? By the power of His Spirit. He's working in us and through us to change us, and transform our mind into the mind of Christ. That's that new nature that we're putting on, and we're being transformed. And God is not done with us. He's going to continue to work with us. And until the day of Jesus Christ. And then we will see Him as He is. For we will be like Him. We'll have that new body. Thank God, because I need a new body. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 reads, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And I love that about the Lord, because I've seen a lot of other religions. I did a religion comparison, and it's amazing how all these other religions, they say, you need to do this, this, and this. And if you don't accomplish this, then you don't meet the standard. But then I look at Christianity, and which is a relationship with Jesus, and He says, put your trust and faith in Me, and I will help you. And that's what the Lord does. He renews me day by day through the power of His Spirit. He helps me in my time of need. And that need basically occurs every time I take a step out of bed. That's our need. We need Jesus 24/7. You need Jesus. Well, we have a question here in verse 10. And have put on the new man and is renewed in the knowledge. So how are we renewed? In the knowledge. And the knowledge of what? The power of the Holy Spirit that refreshes us and refreshes our nature, that spirit, into the Spirit of Christ. We're renewed by knowing the fact that He's working in us, that He loves us, that He is doing a mighty work in us. I don't know about you, but it lets me know that my God's not done with me yet. He loves me so much, He wants to actively work in my life. That's renewing me. That's getting me excited. That's like, you know, I got a skip of my step and a snap of my finger. I'm like, yes, the Lord loves me, and He hasn't put me on the back burner yet. He still wants to use me, no matter whether I'm on a peak or in a valley. God is using me. God loves me no matter what I'm going through, and He wants to bring me through it. Verse 14, let's go ahead and read verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Verse 14 says, above all these things that's just listed, put on love. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's that love chapter that is so popular. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 reads, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now go down to verse 1, or actually go up to verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of the angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Love. It's interesting, the focus of everything. Love. If you don't have love, the Bible says in 1 John, the love of God is not in you. Jesus said, you'll know my disciples by the love that they have for one another. Love, it's that determining factor. Do you have love? Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. So how does the word of God dwell in me? Through prayer, through reading of His Word, studying His Word, meditating on His Word, and applying God's Word to my life. Jesus said, be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of His Word. So Jesus makes differentiation. We could be hearers all we want, but we got to be doers. When we studied the God's Word, that's good, but we got to be able to apply it, put it into practice, use it. What good is a bunch of head knowledge if we don't use it and put in into life application that thing, those things that we learn from the Lord? We learned that we need to be loving. If we are believers and we're mean, bitter, angry people, how effective is that going to be towards the kingdom of God? How many people do you think you're going to win to the Lord when you're like, "Yeah, you need to accept Jesus now"? You know, there's not a whole lot of effectiveness. Love expressed openly changes people's hearts. And they see it and they're like, "That's something I don't have. And I want that." Love. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing his word of truth." Someone who is not ashamed of the gospel. You know, when I think about those believers who just simply do not study, simply do not go to church, I wonder if they're ashamed of the gospel. I mean, that's what the text basically says. If you don't study, you're ashamed of the gospel. But if you do study, you're not ashamed of it. You're rightly dividing it, and you want to be approved unto God. I want to be improved unto the Lord. But more importantly, I want His words to dwell richly in my life. We need to make sure that the believers, you and I, are studying His Word, that it's dwelling richly in us. Verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." It's interesting, giving thanks. I love this attitude of gratitude to the Almighty God. Three times Paul mentions thanksgiving, being thankful. In verse 15, he says, "Be thankful." In verse 16, he says, "Singing with thanks." And then here in verse 17, again, he says, "Giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him," Jesus. Three times he mentions thanksgiving. When you pray, do you give thanks to God? Is it a time of prayer when we come and we just give our petitions and we turn around and walk away? Is it a one-sided conversation when we pray, or is it a two-sided conversation where not only do we pray, we give thanks, but then we listen to the Lord? But when we pray, give thanks. Think about all the goodness that you have in your life. There's a lot in third world countries that they don't have. There is a lot here in this nation that we can be thankful for. I was searching the internet this afternoon, and I was looking at the soccer scores for the U.S. And of course, it's in South Africa, and they had some pictures. So I clicked on some pictures, and then it clicked on another link, and then it showed some pictures of South Africa. And you know, sometimes you look at some of those pictures, and your heart is just ripped out. Seeing the poor. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much plenty in our lives. God has given us so much. And even if we were living in South Africa, if we had Jesus Christ in our heart, we would still have so much to be thankful for. It doesn't matter of our location, but we still need to be thankful. I think it's important that Paul emphasizes this three times in a row. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. This is part of a believer's life, of being thankful. Have an attitude of gratitude. Well, verses 5 to 9 is the life principle number 3. Verses 5 through 9 is this life principle number 3. What apparel are we to put off? And he mentions there in verse 5, immorality and idolatry. Verse 8, anger, malice, slander, and filthy language. And verse 9, lying. That's what we're to put off. That's the third life principle. The fourth life principle is this. What apparel are we to put on? And he mentions there in verses 10 to 11, the new nature in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Verse 13 to 14, bearing and forgiving one another and love. Verse 15, God's peace and thankfulness. And then finally, in verse 16 to 17, the words of Christ, the Word of God. We're to put that on. Well, now, Paul goes on to take these life principles into application, into our various areas of life. And he lists six types of believers there in verses 18 all the way down to chapter 4, verse 1. Paul addresses six types of believers to apply these life principles to our life. So verse 18 reads, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord." So wives need to submit to their husbands. In other words, put off that anger, that lying, that slander, and put on Jesus, tender mercies, kindness, forgiveness. I know I need a lot of forgiveness. That's, mark that one down, forgiveness. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Put off that anger, that bitterness, that filthy language, and put on kindness, long-suffering, tender mercies. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So children need to obey their parents. Put off that filthy language, that anger, that lying. Now, we didn't even have to teach our children how to lie, and they just automatically started doing it. But they need to put on Christ. Put on obedience, tender mercies, kindness, humility, forbearing one another, especially their siblings. Verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fathers, put off that anger towards your children. I know sometimes when my kids do something wrong, there's an opportunity to just lash out in anger. You know, how in the world could you have done that? Or why did you do that? Where to put that off? Because there's no place for that in the kingdom of God. It doesn't help the situation to be angry. God calls us to be angry, but sin not. And a lot of times in our anger, it turns out to be sin because we do something in sin because of that anger. Now, I don't want to be that way. And I want to put on Christ. And if I need a discipline, I want to do it in love. Oh, I love you. You did something wrong, but you need to learn discipline. You need to learn what is right and what is wrong, how to make right moral decisions. And I'm doing this not out of anger, but out of love, because I want you to live a godly life. And so we're not to provoke our kids, but love them. And that's putting into practice these life principles. Verse 22 to 25. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be paid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So servants need to serve their masters as they would serve the Lord. In other words, employees, we need to serve our employer as unto the Lord. Do all as unto the Lord. I remember years ago at Bible college, a teacher was saying, one of the best jobs you can have, and we're all required to serve somehow. He said, one of the best jobs you could have is to be the dishwasher, because you can pray over every dish that somebody has. And I carried that thought over to work. I remember sending out emails and praying over those emails. Even though I'm not physically touching them or seeing them, there are things that I could do that I can influence people's lives. And I could be praying for people. Employees need to serve our masters, serve our employers as if we're serving to the Lord. No matter what it is, act as if you're doing it unto the Lord. That's a hard thing to do. But I bet if you're at work and you sit there and you think about all the different things that you do, you can come up with a ton of things that you could pray for, a ton of ways in which people's lives can be influenced by you as you're serving the Lord. But, you know, that's the thing. A lot of times we don't think about it. A lot of times we don't take the time or the opportunity to really evaluate our situation and our surroundings to see how we can impact other people's lives. But the Lord does want you to think about it, because that's an opportunity for us to not only impact somebody else's life, but to express our love to Him. Because when we're loving others, we're loving our Lord. Finally, chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So if you're an employer and you have employees, transversely, do the same thing. Put off that anger, that slander, that lying, and put on Jesus. Put on tender mercies, bearing one another, being thankful. You know, a lot of times, employers are really not thankful for the employees that they have. And I've seen this time and time again. But I remember there was one time I had a Christian employer, and he constantly gave thanks to his employees. And I got to tell you, that was some of the best working environment I've ever seen. Employers, if you're an employer, be thankful for your employees. If you're a believer, let Christ dwell in you. Years ago, I remember watching Jay Leno. And he did this thing where he was pulling people off the street and asking them a question. And the question of the night was, name one of the Ten Commandments. And there was this guy from Wall Street that he pulled. And I don't remember what job he had in Wall Street, you know, but I remember it was something about Wall Street. And Jay had asked him, "So what's one of the Ten Commandments?" And he says, "Do unto others before they do it unto you." You know, as an employer, that's not how you act. As a employee, that's not how you act. As a father, that's not how we act. As children, that's not how we act. As husbands, that's not how we act. As wives, that's not how we act. We act as if the Lord is ruling and reigning and working in and through our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's how we work. That's how we live. So, how do believers put on Jesus? How can we do this? How can we put this Jesus on? Believers place their spiritual affection towards heaven. Believers direct their spiritual affection towards Jesus. Believers put off that spiritual old man. Believers put on that spiritual new nature, which is Jesus. And believers apply these spiritual principles to their lives as hearers, as doers of the word, and not just hearers only. That's being an active participant in a relationship with Jesus. As a seeker, someone who follows Jesus, someone who is a Christian, Christ-like, I'm actively seeking to follow my Savior, my Jesus, actively in collaboration with Him. He's talking to me and conversing with me, and I'm learning what I need to know and what I can change and what I can do and what I need to apply in my life But it's a relationship. It's an active relationship, not a dead one. So, put on Jesus, and then let the peace of God comfort your hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that, Lord, we would just put you on. And I know that in my flesh I can do nothing, Lord, but I can do all things through Christ, through you who strengthened me. And this is a relationship, Father, where you help me. You give me your Holy Spirit, your power. You give me this power, this help that I need to do the things that you asked me to do. So, Father, I pray for a refreshing, a refilling of your Spirit to help me, to encourage me, to build me up, to empower me to do your will, Lord, that you might receive honor and power and glory through all that I say and I do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whomsoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The Scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.